This verse.
What's that? Good, 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 good. How about this one? Okay, good, good. How about this one?
Yeah,
good, good. How about this one?
No. Thank you for playing. This one memorized.
So you got this, and you got that one, and you got that one. Ephesians 5:16, memorize that one. It deals with time redemption.
What did the apostle say about that? Because now you know what it is. Yes. So, in the midst of Ephesians 5, in dealing with all the things that he's talked about up until chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and all the various things he's talked about, redemption, one of the things that he does is he sets this right in the middle of
walking.
And walking, there's two ways of walking, right?
Walking wisely and walking foolishly.
Those two. And in the midst of that, walking wisely is redeeming the time. So he's talked a lot about what it means in terms of redemption, and now he wants the Christian to walk in a particular way in order to redeem something that's important. Time. How shall we define it?
God's appointed season for holy obedience.
So, if it's that, then what time is not that?
None at all.
None, all of it. When we think about time redemption,
it's an extremely hard and difficult idea,
especially for true Christians, because they're dealing with the idea of God's appointed season for obedience, which is all the time. There isn't a time when Christians don't get to be obedient. So they are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Time in that particular way is,
right, given by God
and measured by God, as well as limited by God, as well as
all of it is accountable to God, right?
And in dealing with that, we live
in
what I'm going to oversimplify and say the half dimension of time. We live in, you know, height and width and length, right? We do live in that. This is where we live, right there. But we live in this thing where time moves in that particular direction. Is that the only direction that it moves in? No. How do we know that? What would be a biblical reason why that is not the case?
God's
timing. What?
God's timing is different.
Particularly, time works this way. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 6 seconds. Where do we go? 5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. Where does it go in the opposite direction?
Time travelers.
Yes. Time travelers, like God. Like God, who said to who? What king? When he said, let's turn the dial backwards.
Yeah.
Let's stop the middle of the day, Joshua, while you fight. Time does not always go in that direction. However, for our particular purposes, we're going to just assume that from now until we die, unless something odd occurs quantumly, that time moves in this particular direction. It always goes forward. It would be really nice if I could go backwards to yesterday at will and change something. But that adds to this what we're going to call the preciousness of time. Why is time precious?
We have a finite amount.
You have a finite amount.
You never get it back.
Yes. Yes. Eternity depends on its use. How eternity will actually fall out for every single person, whether they're a Christian or not. That's a big deal. For us, how long is time? So it's exceedingly short. What else? Its duration is that everybody gets one life. How long is that?
Whatever he wants it to be.
Whatever he wants it to be. You don't know how long it's going to be, right? Its duration is uncertain. And once time is lost, you can't get it back. Once it's lost, it's gone. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4:14. Edward said, a whole eternity depends upon time, and yet how little of it do we possess? Time is short. Eternity is forever in that particular way. Every moment counts for eternity. That's not an odd phrase. Every single moment counts for eternity. How, then, how does this happen? How do you redeem time? Well, first we could say and be general about it, and we could say basic things like worship, prayer, scripture, reading, study, family worship, loving your neighbor, faithful vocations that we have, godly meditation and such. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, Colossians 3:17. So we live in a particular way. Time is a thing that is exceedingly precious, and therefore we should be exceedingly careful that it be not lost. Again, Edwards. What wastes time? Idleness, sloth, endless entertainment, gossip, sinful conversation, sin of any kind, worldliness, living only now for earthly gain, neglect of the soul, all those kinds of things. So when we say the regular means of grace, right? The regular means of grace, what would be the next step in thinking about the regular means of grace in order to redeem time well?
Improving them?
In what way?
Deeper?
Yes. So in dealing with whatever the means of grace are, dealing with them in truth, not in error. What kind of time would you waste if you had a particular thing that you did and you did it wrong? Right? In the middle of gospel worship, Jeremiah Burroughs, after seven sermons, says to the reader, to the listener, even when he preached it, he's like, now that you understand how worship goes, it may be that in your whole life, you've never worshiped God one time. That might be. If you do it wrong. So if you do it wrong, right now, here's the next thing that makes it like this hard and difficult, is that if you do it wrong, then the profit that you gain from the means of grace in those things is going to be little, or maybe none. And yet, you're doing those things over and over and over and over, which is why the next thing that we're going to deal with is for next week, starting over. Why would we need to start over on things? We'll talk about that next time. But the idea that we take the means of grace or whatever it is that we need to redeem time well, because it's precious to us, we have to do it in a way that's truthful. Many spend not only common time in vain, but even sacred time because of that particular thing, Edward said. To be busy about many things and yet neglect the one thing needful, our soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his soul? Mark 8:36, that's really not redeeming the time well. Scripture teaches redeeming the time because the days are evil. Psalm 39:4-5 say, Lord, make me to know mine end and the number of my days. Make me understand in the time that I have what is important and what is not important and where I should spend my time. Luke 12:20, you remember the guy who built bigger barns and such, right? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He had big barns. He wanted bigger barns. He wanted to fill them more. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Or Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. So in thinking about it, time in and of itself, even though it's not something that we can hold in our hand, it's something that we have to redeem in a manner in which it's like a talent. Right? He gave talents to all of them. One of them buried it, didn't do anything with it. We're stewards, not owners. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That then takes this particular idea and makes time really important for us. Why is that? We're going to be accountable to God. Okay, so what does that mean, practically speaking?
Rewards.
When?
When we die.
When we die and we go to heaven. And at that particular point, so to speak, the reward system's done. Right? So whatever we do here counts for there. So you don't want to lose time in that particular way. Time is like a talent committed to us. God will require an account of its use. So when we think about time, set apart time and setting apart time and being aware of what even things we should set apart, what things should be set apart, what's important. The Lord's Day, public worship, family worship, private devotion, seasons of special mercy. Isaiah 58 talks about doing wonderful, excellent things on the Sabbath. Put down your stuff, pick up God's work. Put down your work, pick up his. The Sabbath is to be kept holy unto the Lord, the Confession 21:8. Redeeming the days of youth, particularly for young people. Why is that important? You create certain habits up until that time because youth is a short season for a great work. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says pretty much exactly the same thing as Ephesians 5:16. It just says it in a different way. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Right? Which is the base, same thing as redeeming the time. Remember the Creator and all the things that he wants you to do. The best part of life is often the part most foolishly squandered. What does a redeemed life look like? Now, these are generalities. Each one of these could be lessons in and of itself, but still, it goes to this, walking wisely. In a generality, what does walking wisely mean? Yeah, it goes back up there. God appointed season for obedience. So all the time that we have, we walk in a particular way and we walk according to that way that he set down. Using leisure properly. You have a long day. How about this question? Are naps redeeming the time? Are naps redeeming the time?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Why? Why?
To prepare you for what comes after.
Sure. Right? You can't be moving in burnout. That's not going to be wise at all. Serving faithfully, growing in holiness, doing good to others, seeking first the kingdom. That's an interesting thing that could be tied to this time redemption in dealing with Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these other things will be added unto you in that particular way, because it prepares us for eternity. How should we then redeem time? In the sense that we bring every part of our day to Christ. In the morning, we commit things to God. In the daytime, we serve Him faithfully. In the evening, we examine ourselves as to how our day went. And at night, we rest in God's care. My voice thou shalt hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Psalm 5:3. Good works are the fruit and evidences of a true and lively faith. The Confession 16:2. Believers are to be diligent in stirring up the grace of God that is in them. 16:3. So, in terms of the way that this works out, one of the things that you have to remember in terms of lessons to remember or pull from the idea, generally speaking, of time redemption, is that a happy or miserable eternity depends on the improvement of time. For both, will it be that the Lord will say, you could have done this better? Or will we just know that in either case, we enter into the joy of the Lord? But everybody's joy is going to be joy, and everybody's heaven is going to be heaven, but the rewards will be different in that way.
You don't want to rob yourself.
Yeah, don't rob yourself. Time is exceedingly short. When time is gone, it can't be recovered. We have to improve the present without delay. Being faithful now, because we can't redeem yesterday, because tomorrow is not promised, so today is the day. And in that in particular, that then turns into a very practical means by which how we improve life. What?
Incentive. It's an incentive.
Yes, it's totally an incentive for everything. I don't know how to do X, Y, or Z well. It would be worth redeeming the time to find out what that means. How do I do that better? How do I understand it better? How do I pray better? How do I meditate godly in a better way? How do I listen in a better way? How do I serve in a better way? Right? All of those things fall under the idea of the preciousness of time because it's exceedingly short and you don't want to lose it, so you have to redeem it, which means we're constantly in this difficult place of redeeming the time. It's an easy idea, which is why Paul doesn't take a really long time in dealing with it. He says, redeem the time because you live in an evil day and you have to walk in a certain way. And he goes on, and then he starts talking about the armor of God and how we're to spiritually fight in that particular way. But the idea of time redemption is exceedingly important because it demonstrates whether or not we're wisely using time or foolishly using time. This is not a hard concept, but people hate this concept. Why do people hate this concept?
It's a lot of work.
It requires a lot of deep self-reflection.
Yes, it requires you to examine yourself. It requires you, maybe, as we'll talk about next week, that you have to start over on some things because you weren't thinking about things right. You probably don't know better. Find out, in the midst of counselors, plans are firmly established, so figure that out. And it could apply to just about anything, right? I want to be a better daughter. What does that mean? Or I want to be better parents. Or I want to raise my children right. Or I want to work as unto the Lord. Or I want to be a better wife, a better husband, right? Pick any of those practical things, plus a zillion other things, and then apply that to it. You wind up having a lot of things to think about, because when that time is lost and you spend years doing things that you shouldn't have done or didn't know that you were doing in a wrong way, what does that benefit you? And the issue that everybody has with it is that for the time being, which is why we don't see a lot of time redemption in that way or people thinking about it, is that because they're happy with themselves and what they're doing. They're satisfied and content in it. And that's not what Paul's talking about in Philippians in terms of being and whatever, being content with whatever.
And I've thought about it. Imagine in the age to come where time, how holy will be.
Yes.
It's difficult to imagine that concept of time because you're not going to have to.
Yes.
Necessarily, I mean, whatever God gives you, obviously, but you're going to. It's
do it to the best of your ability, perfectly, in every way, forever. We don't do that now.
No, not.
You know, but it's an interesting thing that God has placed us in this seasonable, obedient box, right in the middle of it, to see what it is that we're going to do with the things that he's given us. And sometimes those things are easy in the sense that, here, you be a wife. Here, you be a husband. How will you deal with that? Here, I'm going to make you exceedingly prosperous. How will you deal with that? Here, I'm going to give you cancer. How will you deal with that? Whatever it is. Everybody has this box. Everybody has this box. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're saved or lost. This is going to apply to everybody. And that's why Paul says, you either walk wise or foolishly in it. So instead, walk circumspectly. Know everything that's going on around you so that you can execute things exceedingly well.